Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, as we enter a whole new post-COVID world, whenever that will be, it will create opportunities, no doubt, for innovation and ideas for entrepreneurs and companies as we do business differently into the future. Enterprise Ireland is the state agency which helps Irish businesses connect with international clients, and the food and agri-tech sector are very much areas to whom EI offer expertise. And I'm delighted to say with me in studio this morning to chat is the outgoing CEO of Enterprise Ireland, Julie Cinnamon. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Damien. Good to be here.
It's the long goodbye, because you were on the way out waving goodbye more or less last February, and then this whole thing hit and you're still there.
My timing wasn't perfect. I announced in February that I was going to resign and end my tenure in Enterprise Ireland. And then March, along came COVID. And I agreed with the board that I would defer my departure. So the competition is currently in process. So I think people can see that I am on the way out at this stage, but yeah, I'll be there for another while, Damien.
Well, it's funny, actually, because you're in the business of trying to help people stay in jobs, and COVID is helping you stay in a job. But what effect has it had in general, you know, on businesses, you know, that are now trying to run their business from the kitchen tables? Are you surprised at how resilient we've been?
Surprised is probably not the word I'd use. Actually, really encouraged. I think all the work that we did over the last 4 years, 3 years in particular, on Brexit has really helped companies work on their innovation and their competitiveness agenda. And, you know, I know there was a lot of false starts, but there's a lot of work done from companies. And certainly, I mean, speaking for Enterprise Ireland, on the 13th of March, we decided we needed to work from home. And on the 16th of March, 800 people were working from home. And companies across the country had to do the same thing. And they've responded. They actually have seen that it's this remote working. It isn't perfect. We all are missing the companionship, and we're missing the collaboration and the things that happen within an organisation when you're all physically together. However, they're realising that you can work remotely. And I've spoken to some of the food companies, for example, and they're saying, you know, this works for us, for some of our staff in terms of administrative staff, etc. And we can do this, and it broadens the talent pool. And for our regional agenda, it certainly has big implications as well going forward.
But we are an island nation. And when you talk about, let's just zone in on the food companies, they depend an awful lot on going and having face-to-face meetings with clients, with customers in the UK and across the world, going to trade fairs. Will we go back to that, or are there a lot of things we won't go back to?
I think we will definitely go back to physical meetings to some level. But I speak to a lot of people who say, you know, I was spending 40 weeks a year on airplanes and travelling the world, and I don't think I will go back to that type of level of engagement and physical contact. I think the fact that we all globally engaged in this massive social experiment at the same time, it has forced everybody to get used to using the technology, and it will change the way we do business. So I don't think, however, you know, there is a great place for people to go in to physically talk to people, to build relationships. I think it's one of the things that Irish people are really good at, and there's definitely, you know, we will go back to physical meetings as well.
What about businesses that you are supporting? And we are cognizant this morning, we do know there are an awful lot of people listening to us that are out of work, don't know whether they'll get back into business, whether they'll get jobs and all of that. That is a given. But for the businesses that you are actually supporting, have you found that they've been somewhat reluctant maybe to take on more debt and bank loans, even at zero interest rates going into the future? And how important has it been that the likes of yourselves have been around to give them some sort of grant aid?
Well, there's been a massive range of government supports available to help companies, you know, including things like the wage subsidy schemes, which have been massively important. We then had the Sustaining Enterprise Fund, which was originally introduced as a totally repayable fund. And the feedback we got from companies at that stage was they were very reluctant to take on additional debt. There was a change made to that by government in the July stimulus package, which allowed companies to get up to 50% of that funding, non-repayable, up to 200,000. And that has had a big impact in terms of the willingness of companies to take on that funding and actually plan and implement plans for the future using that funding. So it certainly has been a factor, but certainly that has changed.
We worry as well about, you know, this supply of money and how long can we keep going like this? We do know we have to stick to the level five regulations until we get down to close to zero anyway. And that's a given, and it's going to take a number of months to do that. But is there a concern at all that we might run out of money?
Well, I mean, the government have spent massive money in terms of supporting enterprise, allowing people to make sure that health got priority over the last 9 or 10 months. It has been very costly for all of the economies around the world. However, health has been the critical piece here, and making sure that people aren't getting up in the morning and deciding I have to go to work even though I think I have COVID. So making it clear that people have supports to encourage them to stay at home, and that businesses are getting the support that they need to sustain it. Some sectors have been massively impacted, like the hospitality sector, for example. Within the Enterprise Ireland portfolio, obviously areas like food, because of the impact on food service, have been impacted. So there have been a lot of supports provided by government. This third wave, is increasing the demand for those supports again. Mm. And I think, you know, governments are keen to make sure that at the end of this, we have strong companies.
Yeah, and we do know all the difficulties, but what about the opportunities? Are we well equipped? Are there good young companies and entrepreneurs in this country now ready to capitalise on a changing world, a changing way we will actually do business, changes in the way we travel, the way we shop, the way we purchase food? Are there tech companies up and coming that you're supporting that have a bright future to fill that space?
Well, one of the things that has encouraged me over the last 9 or 10 months is the companies that have seen opportunity. So, for example, if you take the app that hopefully everybody has on their phone for tracing people that you may have come in contact with, that's a young Irish company in Tramore, Nearform. They rolled it out in Ireland, north and south. They've rolled it out across a lot of states within the US, a lot of European countries. So we've seen companies that see opportunities and go for them. Companies like Aerogen and Galway, who do producing drugs and making them into like aerosols that you can breathe them in. Again, being able to see the opportunity and go for it. And then when you go to the virtual world, lots of companies have seen opportunities because cybersecurity is a big issue as we all go virtually. So we have great young companies that have gone for opportunities and have developed them.
And what about agri-tech? Because when I was down with Caroline Walsh during the week there, she was showing me an app on her phone which basically monitors the health of every one of her cows. So if one of the cows is not drinking her water, because she has a kind of a Fitbit thing on all the cows, it's amazing the amount of technology there is now in agriculture. Are there good young ag tech companies in this
country?
We
have exports of about 250 million worldwide of agri-tech products. And every year, you know, we have this year we didn't have the farming, the ploughing championships, but we have competitions and we have fantastic examples of Irish innovation. Companies like Mucol, for example, again, taking technology and bringing it into the farm. And I think because of such a strong background in Ireland in farming, that we've grown a really fantastic group of young, innovative agri-tech companies, and that will continue.
And when it comes to agriculture and agri-food, we export 13 billion euros worth of food and drink. Are we going to have to change our thinking in relation to that into the future as we meet climate change obligations? Because the agri-food sector, when it comes to exports, it's all about exponential growth, more outputs. Is there a bit of thinking outside the box needs to be done there now in the future?
Well, I think the sustainability agenda is a growing agenda and will have to be addressed in terms of the development of the food companies. Again, if you look at companies, for example, like Devonish and the project that they have in County Meath and in Douth, which is really showing that you actually can increase output, but in a sustainable way. And I think there'll be a bigger focus in terms of the innovation agenda, in terms of working on sustainable methods of farming in order to be able to ensure that we can continue to grow. Food is our largest sector. It accounts for about 48% of the exports of Irish companies. It generates and is really driving regional prosperity. And it is important that we all put the investment in. And Teagasc are doing a lot of work in this space, again, to ensure that we can continue to grow agriculture, but in a sustainable way.
All right. And I was reading this morning where the Taoiseach has written to the Chinese Premier, Li Keqiang, looking for the lifting of the ban on Irish beef imports, which has been in place since last May. How important is we get that open again?
Well, I think Brexit, obviously, one of the things that we have been working on, and obviously Bord Bay have been working on, is changing that global footprint. If you go back 10 or 15 years ago, 45% of our exports were into the UK. Today, it's about just over 30% from an Irish company perspective. And markets like China are really important. And one of the funds that we will be implementing over the next few weeks is the Annex 1 fund for food processors to be able to invest in plant and equipment to be able to put facilities in place to be able to go to markets like China and Japan, etc., and diversify further.
Okay, so they are growing potential markets post-Brexit.
Absolutely.
The Far East is the place to look. Well, we wish you the very best in your retirement, whenever that may actually happen, Julie. But thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning. Really difficult times. There are some sad stories out there, as we do know, but there are some bright stories as well about innovation and job creation as well, which hopefully we will see continuing throughout this year. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme.